joining me in studio today, Shelley Haynes, DCE, Director of Christian Education, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, Rancho Cucamonga, California. Shelley, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thank you so much.
I should also include in that introduction, speaker at Tuesday night mass event, right? No, what
Monday night. Yeah.
Monday night mass event at the National Youth Gathering, the 2016 LCMS National Youth Gathering in New Orleans. New Orleans.
Yes.
Did you ever learn how to pronounce it correctly? I've pronounced it like five different ways.
So. Well, my family's from there, so.
Oh, so you
we actually pronounce it Nolens.
Nolens.
Yeah.
I see. I didn't realize your family's from there, but you grew up in California, right?
I did, yeah. My dad's one of 16 brothers and sisters and grew up in Opelousas, so I actually have family in New Orleans, but half of them came out to the San Francisco Bay Area, and that's where I was born, yeah.
Now, were there any family still in New Orleans when you were there?
So
did you get to see some family while you were there?
Yes, I saw one aunt, yeah. It was really fun.
Tell me a little bit about your work at Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church and how you serve as a director of Christian education. What are your responsibilities there as DCE?
I'm a lifespan educator. So at Shepherd of the Hills, I do everything from the birth, you know, all the way up through women's ministry. So early childhood, elementary, junior high, confirmation, high school, college, and we have a wonderful people, like we have a group of people that lead college, but I kind of do a little bit with them. Same thing with elementary. But yeah, everything but preaching. Thank goodness.
Well, you shared a wonderful story at the National Youth Gathering. We've had a chance to share a little bit of that here on Faith and Family. I wanted to share that with our listeners again today. Before we get to your story, tell me about being invited to speak at the National. When did you find out? Who contacted you? Or where were you when someone said, "Hey, would you be interested in speaking at the National Youth Gathering?"
Well, that was such a real out of body sort of moment. I received an email from DCE in, I think it was in North Dakota. Kevin Bush, and he said, We got your name and we'd like to invite you to do this. And so I called him right away, you know, not at all playing it cool. I don't do that very well, but I called him. I was like, really? This is amazing. In December. And that seemed like, in December you could do anything, you know, it's not happening until July and it's fantastic.
Sure. I could do that.
That would be amazing. Yeah. And then it was a little bit of formulating the narrative, like, well, what would you say or what would you like me to speak on, and kind of sharing a little bit story back and forth. And he was neat. It was a really neat process because their idea was that the kid that is coming to the gathering and experiencing all that at one time, really being able to connect with someone on stage, not as sort of a, I could never be that, I'm not that, but I understand where you're coming from, and here's how God's worked in my life. And so, that was a phenomenal conversation. And then over the course of the months, they helped really craft the message. I was able to talk about my life and my story, but I love the way they, I thought the messages were so simple, and allowing the kids to sort of pick up on those keywords each night and really identify with what was happening. So,
and your night was humility, right?
Yeah, being an echo of Christ. Mm-hmm. And in the story that I had discussed with them, my story really has been such a neat way of how God has really poured into me in the lives of other people. So I was able to be a DCE because so many people poured into me. And so that really resonated well with me as we were discussing things like, well, you know, have you seen people pouring into you? Man, have I, you know, so many. And a lot of kids that came up to me after I spoke said, I didn't realize all these different people that have been pouring into me too. So that was, it was beautiful. It was really a neat experience to see the church being church, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you shared a little bit about your life growing up, about childhood and your years as a youth. We mentioned just a little bit ago, you grew up in California.
Yeah, San Francisco Bay Area.
Tell me a little bit about growing up in that area and what life was like as a child.
Yeah, so I was a kid in the 80s and graduated in 1990. It was very simple compared to how it is now. One weird thing, not a lot of channels on the television, so we didn't spend a lot of time watching TV, right? So I'd get up and after did my chores, went out and hung out in the streets and played with my friends or read books. And but my childhood, my home was just a little bit of more of a lonely place, more of a sad place. But again, as a kid, I don't know that I would have been able to identify with those words. I thought everyone grew up in homes like that. And dad was working really hard, working a lot. Mom was home with us, but very sad. And I escaped. I loved books and I loved reading and being outside and picking plums off the neighbor's tree and those types of things. But it's so interesting, after going to church and starting to be involved in youth group, that was my swim team or my, you know, my girls play soccer. And church for me was that. I would go there and maybe we'd be cleaning out the church library or doing something with a group of kids. We had Lutheran Laborers for Christ that came and built this building. And I can remember those. That was the best summer, just being a part of that building project and putting something together and everyone working together. It was intergenerational ministry, but we didn't know what that was. We were just all building together. It was really, really a neat time and just a wonderful place, you know.
What you mentioned, home was a sad place. You might not have put those words on it at that time, might not have known or described it in that way. Why, what was it about a home that was sad? Why why did you seek to be elsewhere?
There was a cloak. I mean, I can only really describe it in images. The walls felt dark. We didn't have a lot of money. My dad had been married a lot of times. And so he had three other children by a previous marriage. So whenever, and my dad was a contractor. So when he'd make a living or he'd get a check or something, it seemed like inevitably there would be a request for up in child support. So we were told to be very quiet about anything that was going on at home. My dad was an alcoholic and then a recovering alcoholic. And we were told, you know, don't talk about that to anyone. My mom really struggled to make sure that she could hang on to whatever resources we had. She was afraid a lot. That really permeated into our home. And then, you know, I was just a kid where I really by nature am kind of I want to be laughing and joyful and my brother as well. And even though there were moments of that, I don't want to make it sound like there was never any of that, but there was a lot of, okay, that's fine. Go do something else. Or if you're around, you're going to be doing chores or, you know, no kid wants to do those things. So, but I was the person in my family where I could seek to get approval by working hard. So that's, I think, a lesson my parents taught me very well was, you know, you work very, very hard and you do a lot of stuff, but wasn't a lot of time for fun. We didn't go do very many fun things ever. And again, I thought that was normal until I had children of my own and went through the family life program at Seward and really began to process what it looked like growing up. And then I think Shirley said, you get two chances to do it. And I was just pregnant with my oldest daughter and I thought, oh, wow. So my first chance I had no control over, but this time it's going to be different. So my walls are very light. There's pictures all over the walls. We laugh all the time. I'm blessed to have a very funny husband and my kids are very funny. And we seek to do lots of things outside all together. And my kids are 16 and 14. And they like doing that. I can remember being very isolated at 16 and 14. And
so you've sought to have an environment that's a little bit that's lighter and that you get out and do things together as a family.
Yes. And another thing that, and maybe this is off the topic of what you asked, but another thing I think is so huge is growing up, it was just the four of us. Now, my dad has 16 brothers and sisters, or he's one of 16, but my mom was his fifth wife. So none of the family really wanted much to do with us. My mom had one brother. So such a disparity. And everyone was busy doing their thing. It was just the four of us. So I felt isolated until I had met Pastor and Mark and some of the other people that had poured into me. Before I read Sticky Faith and some of those other books, I intentionally picked people. My kids have six or seven people in their life that are not blood related to them that absolutely love them. So if they have an issue or their Cajun mom is a little crazy, they can go to any of those people and they can be told the truth, be loved on, be poured into. And to be honest with you, growing up the way I grew up, I don't think I had a lot of confidence in me as a mom. I love it. that I wasn't one of those kids that was like, oh yeah, I'm made to be a mother. but I knew that I was good at getting other people to be around my kids, and watching their experience grow up has been beautiful because it's completely different than what I had. They'll say, oh, mama, you're so mean. And I'll go, yeah, okay. You don't know the half of it.
You mentioned people that have you know, poured into your life for the words that you've used.
Yeah.
And you shared about those people at the National Youth Gathering. Tell me about some of those people and what a difference they made for you.
You know, one of the biggest things was the relationship with this lady at church. And I mentioned her first because oftentimes when you're a church worker, you look at those key volunteers that maybe they sit on a board or they've served in some way. To my knowledge, this woman sat in church and was worshiping. But instead of getting frustrated as I bothered her during her service, having to touch her hair, instead of being irritated that this, you know, 11-year-old is doing that, she got up and sat down next to me and showed me how to use the hymnal. And then even more than that, the next time I was at church, waited for me in the narthex. And I believe that that happened quite a few times. I can remember people doing that with my younger brother as well, to the point where we felt very much like this was our church. And so for an 8-year-old and 11-year-old to walk to church, and it was regular, I mean, there wasn't any bells and whistles. It was regular worship, regular preaching. We just felt like we were part of a family.
Who is it? Who invited you?
A friend. I had a girlfriend named April Atherton. She sat on the bus next to me, and I was a very outcasted kid, just kind of a real unfortunate junior high kid. My mom bought my clothes at the Goodwill because that's what we could afford. And my mom had a weird thing about wearing jeans. So I had to wear clothes from the Goodwill in the mid 80s that were probably from the 70s. I mean, really horrible. And she didn't have a sense of like, okay, this is awful. You cannot have her wear this. And so, I mean, it's so unfortunate looking at those pictures now. And some of them were shared at the gathering. But April invited me to go. I told her no. She went and had her mom come to our house, and the mom sat down, and you know, I can remember my mom saying to Mrs. Atherton, God took my dad, and I know God's mad at me. My life is so hard, I can't imagine that God could be happy with me. And Mrs. Atherton, whatever Mrs. Atherton said, I don't know what she said, but whatever she said, at the end of that time, it was decided that I would go. And then my brother by extension, but primarily it was me, but it unlocked something in me. Seeing God in pastor's face, I had Pastor Wolkenhauer, and he was just this amazing, kind, kind of fun guy. He loved us. And it was a small church in Concord, California. The youth group there was maybe 15 people. But out of that youth group, you know, at least one pastor and myself as a DCE and several others that volunteer regularly. But, you know, I had Mark Blonkey who came and was working in the parish then. And
Mark was a DCE.
He was my DCE. Yeah. And I mean, and Mark Blonkey is a bigwig now, but it's funny, you know, it's funny to me because he was just Mark, and he's very different than me in personality. And he'll say that to me all the time, but I'm like a big ball of like heart. I'm just a big love. He's not, he's sarcastic. And I kind of loved that too, but I knew Mark loved me. And I knew Mark loved all the kids in our group. And our group is still friends. We're still friends on Facebook. We still chat and share in each other's kind of joys and sorrows. And it's so cool to me that what Mark did with maybe seemingly small youth group in Northern California, and then went off to do other things. I mean, most of us are still in church. I love that. What an example for me as a church worker.
What was it in your relationship with pastor, with your DCE, Mark? What was it in those relationships, or how you spent time? What was it that they did, or what you learned from them that made a difference, so that you remained connected to this church, to the body of Christ?
Well, I think that's such a good question because, you know, you look at statistics, and I would say as a professional church worker that really our main piece should be parents. parenting because they have so much impact on a kid's life. And that is true. However, for me and for some of the other kids that were in that group, they took time. I really thought pastor only worked Sunday mornings. Like I had absolutely no idea what a pastor did, but anytime I went to church after school, my high school was right across the street from the church. Pastor was there. He would stop what he was doing. We would chat. I mean, I don't remember it being real long, but I always felt like I had a place there. On Sunday mornings, people would ask, well, you had mentioned last week you were doing that, or how did that go? Or, you know, have you been studying for that? And I would say, no, I didn't apply myself very much in school at the time. And, well, you know, you've got to do it. You're so bright. You can do something. There's a lot of encouragement there. And Mark was wise enough to know when to laugh at you, which I know sounds weird, but I had a moment in high school. I was a real mousy kid and didn't do much, but towards the end of my junior year, I got into some trouble. I took the Spanish final and sold it to people, and I made $47. It was quite the entrepreneurial little job for myself. Not had a detention, anything, but the school had had some issues that I didn't obviously know about, and they made an example of the other student and I, and we were expelled. And my mom didn't know, and it was a very hard home, so telling my mom about a failure would have been really, really hard, and so I called Mark, and I said, oh my gosh, Mark, this happened. And there's silence on the phone. And I kind of explained everything and he's just silent. And then all of a sudden he burst out laughing. He laughed for a full minute and I'm crying as I'm telling him, he's laughing. And I said, okay, why are you laughing? And he said, oh, Shelley, cause someday some kid's going to come up to you and say, well, you don't understand cause you work in a church and you know, you're a good Christian. And he said, and you'll be able to tell him the story. And look what God's going to do with this story. And he really normalized, because my parents did not have that reaction at all. It's probably on restriction for like 9 months.
Understandably
totally
so.
Totally understandably. But, you know, through being taken out of that high school and into the rival high school, I had no friends at the rival high school, but God was so present. And for me as a worker in the church now 20 years, there have been times when kids have had failures and you're tempted to want to be like, this looks bad. And sometimes it's in those very times of failure that they can just stop and God can point to them and say, okay, this is what grace is. This is what forgiveness is. And so I don't love that I did that. It's an embarrassing thing that I did, but at the same time, man, God used so much of that time and that to heal my heart and to really point me in the direction of being a church worker instead of, I think I wanted to be a beautician at the time or something.
Both, you know, legitimate vocations,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
that are valuable. How do you think you would have done in that vocation?
I love people, so that would have been neat, you know? but no, I wasn't really good at doing my own hair, so I probably am doing a better job now. It's better suited for me.
Well, quite a story, and I'm glad that you were able to share it with so many at the National Youth Gathering. 25,000 people at the National Youth
yes.
Gathering. When you stepped up there that night, was it what you had pictured it might be?
No, you know, it was so interesting. The first night, that lovely lady got up and talked, and originally I had been asked to do the joy night. And so she was the first night. And then I was very nervous. Then the second night I'm kind of watching the couple. They did a fantastic job as well. When you do the dress rehearsal, there's no one in the dome. Mm-hmm. It feeds back so much on you. And I was very nervous. And, that night as everyone's feeling the dome and you're just standing there, I thought, okay, yeah, I don't want to do this. And then this calm comes over. And as I could see people's faces, I didn't imagine I would. I thought I would just be looking into lights. Mm-hmm. You know, the students and the adults that are gathered in that space, they want to hear what God's doing. They're excited to see what God's got for them. They were so encouraging to me. And my youth group was there. The boy I went to the prom with, and that picture was up there. He was there. Mark was there. There's never been a more welcoming space. And I don't know. It was such a beautiful experience. I can't believe I got to have. I felt so privileged and so honored to have been asked to share that.
It certainly was kind of neat that Mark was there too. I had a chance to talk with Mark while we were at the gathering, and it's always fun to sit down and talk with him about being a DCE and the National Youth Gathering this time, and his work at Concordia University as well. And, mm-hmm. And now he helps shape future DCEs, yes. Serving at Concordia University, Nebraska. It was certainly fun. And then when he said, oh, and another reason I'm here is one of my former students is speaking at the Mass event tonight. Then I started doing the math because I hadn't looked ahead at the schedule really right. for the Mass event. Started doing the math. I think I know who that is.
Yes.
And it was so nice. So then I was really excited to hear you speak at the Mass event that evening.
Yeah. So neat.
Well, it's people like Mark or like your pastor who made a difference. And certainly your parents as well, the ways that God used them in your life. And you shared that in your story that night as well. You know, it's not in ways that we see as ideal, but yet God takes those situations, just as you were describing your situation with being expelled from school,
right.
How he takes those situations and uses those, full of his grace,
yes.
To shape your life and send you down a path on a vocation that you might not have ever pictured before.
Right. Yeah.
Now serving on as a leader in the National Association of DCEs as well.
Yes.
And helping, this is your first time around on the board, correct?
Mm-hmm. This is my first time. Yes.
So learning about, being a part of that and helping shape the future and direction for DCEs down the road. What did you learn from your experience speaking at the National Youth Gathering, if anything? You know, speaking in front of 25,000 people and sharing your story of how God has provided for you and what he has given you to do in terms of echoing.
You know, for me, it's weird to say that it was humbling. I was so excited. I mean, definitely humbled to have been able to speak, but it really drives home the point. And I thought the planners did such a fabulous job with the theme that everything happens in Christ alone. And when you're able to stand there and share your heart, your story, this is your life, and it's not always pretty. The next day, as I was walking around with my older daughter throughout the experiential floor, I had a few opportunities to talk with different people. And one girl came up to me and she said, I just cried. I just cried through your whole talk. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. You know, and she said, no, because you come to one of these things and it's almost like the best party you could ever be at. And I said, yeah. And she said, but at home, I think I live in a dark, sad house too. And you know, we kind of nodded. Or another girl, a lady, she works at Concordia Chicago, and she said, I was so touched because my mom is just diagnosed with cancer. Mm. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. And she said, and I felt so sad, but yet moved, and I didn't really know what to say. And I said, well, can I pray for your mom? What's your mom's name? And she said, well, my mom's name is Connie. And my daughter and I, and we both started to cry. And she looked at me and I said, my mom's name was Connie too. And I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know that God's got it. And for me, that's what the experience really was. It's in Christ alone. The girl on the bus, April Atherton, that could be any kid sitting in those seats. And I know, I really believe that God, in Ephesians 2:10, when it says God puts things that we should walk in them, April's thing was Shelley Jolivet sitting on that bus, outcast kid. She took a leap in inviting me to come to church and not giving up on that. I don't know what happened to April, but I think my life's forever changed because God used her. Same with that lady and pastor and certainly Mark. And Mark and I have such a strong relationship, but he's the only one of that whole group that I can say, well, gosh, I've watched this relationship unfold. I hope for the kids that went to the gathering, they got to hear every day at the breakouts and in the evenings, different things that remind them that this church it's all because of Christ and he's doing wonderful things, even in the scary situation we live in.
Hmm. Yeah, the theme was very clear throughout. You know, the message was very clear throughout the entire gathering, that in Christ alone message, that what gift we have as he has come to us in his word and sacraments, and as we gather together as the body of Christ around the his good gifts in word and sacrament, that that we're strengthened for the journey and for the vocations he's given us. And that also gives us courage and boldness to be that witness, as you
Definitely.
Said, the April, you know, on the bus and inviting you to church. In Christ alone, we're strengthened and encouraged to do that as well. Well, thank you so much for being a part of, for accepting the invitation to speak at the National Youth Gathering, sharing your story that leads to his story, and for taking time now to share that with us here on Faith and Family.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Shelley Haynes, DCE, at Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, Rancho Cucamonga, California. I'm Eddie Bates. That does it for Faith and Family today. More up tomorrow. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.